great future. We're talking real money.
It's another Talking Real Money podcast. Hi, I'm Don McDonald, along with my partner over there, Tom Koch. We're here to talk about money with you and stuff like that. On yesterday's podcast, just a little program note, actually an addition. We had a question about Frank Vasquez and Risk Parity Radio, his podcast, and I did a little more checking. I had just looked at one of these funds that he had suggested, but the portfolios the caller was talking about, I went and checked a little further. The All Seasons portfolio, he mentioned, and the Golden
winter,
Butterfly.
Spring, summer, and fall, all four seasons?
All of those in one thing. Here's what the portfolio is, just so you know. It's 20%... Let me just make sure I have these right. It's 30% VTI, the U.S. Okay. stock market.
Yeah.
40% long-term bonds.
Long-term,
TLT, long-term.
Whoa.
15% intermediate-term bonds, VGIT, 7.5% gold, and 7.5% commodities. Since 1970, it's had a compounded growth rate after inflation of 5.6%.
Okay, here's a guess. I bet you could take VT, you can't go back this far, mm-mm, but take VT at 60% and BND, I always forget the bond.
He doesn't have BND, he's using,
BND. But you could do the BND, two of those.
Correct. Yeah.
And I'll bet you, dollars to donuts, that did better than all the work that he just talked about.
And then the Golden Butterfly is 20% U.S. stocks, 20% small cap value, 20% long-term treasuries, 20% short-term treasuries, and again, 20% gold.
And how much, did he just gives this out free, or is he charged to manage this?
I mentioned this yesterday. He begs for money, which is fine.
Okay. All right.
Well. He says, please send me Ethereum.
Oh, that's right.
It's all about NFT, or purchase an NFT.
Nifty, yeah.
I don't get what these, anyway. It's all just weird. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think it's good nor bad. I just think it's weird.
Fair enough.
And there are simpler ways to manage your money. Now, we're going to answer some questions, Tom. I need your help here. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We've got so many. These were all sent in to talkingrealmoney.com and all typed in. So I will pretend I am the person asking the question, and Tom will pretend he has an answer.
This isn't going to be like that trivia game I play at dinner where I never have the answers, right?
Yeah. That one with all the pop culture stuff.
I know none of it. My 13-year-old daughter beats the pants every night. I'm like, come on. I've never even heard of these people. So let's hope it's not.
Although
like
World War II trivia, he'll wipe the floor with you.
You know, thank you for mentioning that. I'm going to find the World War II trivia game to put that for dinner. That I'm going to look good then. Yeah, okay.
All right, so this is a hey, Tom and Don.
Oh.
I'm a Vestry client and a podcast listener.
Oh, then we need to answer this one properly.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
So don't mess this one up.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
Good news is we got the answer. I heard a radio ad on 780 AM, Chicago's news radio, WBBM. I used to listen to BBM all the time.
Oh.
Talking about how 401ks take 50% of your money.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and 50%. The market will crash.
That's the other 50. So now you'll be back at zero.
But there's a bank on yourself program.
Not bank on
that
yourself.
That guarantees returns in good markets and bad markets. Well, it is insurance. And I'm including the link to solicit your thoughts and opinions.
Okay. I forget the specifics on Bank of Yourself,
specifics.
But this is not a good program.
Bank on Yourself.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Is a universal indexed universal life.
That's right. That's right.
Universal
Nobody
life.
Sells that stuff anymore.
They do.
Come on.
The crazy
on.
Bank on Yourself people. And I'm telling you, the people who sell this, they are... It's a religious experience for them. You argue with them, and what they do is they invoke their financial lord to smite you.
Jimmy Jones will show up with his Kool-Aid or something. Come on.
It's just they really, because they make so much money on these. The commissions are huge, and they also claim that they have this gigantic tax advantage. You can take money out without paying any taxes. No, that's called a loan against your policy, and you've been able to do that with life insurance since the beginning of time. There is nothing new about this product except the indexed part.
Ah, okay.
That's the newer part. But the indexing, you only get, this is the big lie. It's the same lie with indexed annuities. Same lie. They claim you will get the return of the market with no risk. The reality is you get a portion of the return of some typically weird market index, a portion of it, up to a cap, a percentage of it up to a cap. And the actuaries have done the math, and they know that they can charge huge commissions, sometimes up to 10%, and they still come out ahead.
And you actually did a paper once on looking at the index annuity to see what percentage of the market you actually, or actually what percentage you make. And it was somewhere around 3 to 4% a year. That does not sound like the return of the market.
Annuities, yeah. That will not be as good in index universal life because it has a bigger mortality charge.
I just ran into someone who had one of these who was given to them by a family member or funded by a family member or something. And they asked what to do. I said, get your money out, do something else. Because this person was young. I go, this would be a ridiculous amount to pay over this haul. No.
They do run a lot of ads, though.
Oh, WBBM.
All right. Okay. Here's another question. All right. This one comes to us from...
Switch dial to WLS. I like the station better anyway, so be my take.
BBM is news radio.
I think LS is
talk.
Too.
No, oh. LS is talk.
Ah, okay.
Right. LS is talk. GN is talk. You got all the big talkers in Chicago. GN, WLS.
It's called the Windy City, my friend.
But BBM is 24/7 news. Literally 24/7 news.
Like KOMO here in Seattle. So okay. Yeah,
no, KOMO is mostly 24-hour news until they throw in Talking Real Money.
All right. But weekdays, solid.
I said 24/7, and that's where I win on this one. Yeah. Our next question. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You got to listen to yesterday's show. You've got to.
Oh, no.
Because
that's mean.
This guy lives in Laurel, Mississippi.
No.
The home of Vicks.
Does he have a phone number? Late
specials.
We got to call him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got to call him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wait, he lives in the land of Vicks. Yesterday we talked about Blue Plate Specials.
He's
got
to be a Blue Plate Special guy. He has to be.
Oh, yeah. I bet he knows Vicks. Jonathan, you know Vicks?
It's not a big place, Laurel, I got to imagine. So
I don't even know where Laurel is.
We're going to find out.
Okay, hold on. Maps. I'm looking it up. I got you beat.
I'm looking it up. Yeah,
you won't get there before me.
No, probably not. But.
Laurel, Mississippi. It sits right here in the middle of Mississippi. It's literally pretty much, it's north of Hattiesburg and south of Meridian and east of Jackson.
Must have misspelled it. How do you spell it?
Laurel.
Oh, here it is. I know. I put that in. It didn't come. Okay. Hattiesburg is known for what?
For hats?
No. Brett Favre.
See, I did not know that.
Okay, here you go. Yeah.
And Vicks is right downtown.
There's a surprise. It's not. This is a wide spot. Vicks
is right there at the corner. It's right there at the corner of Chantilly and Mississippi in beautiful downtown Laurel.
Okay.
Just a block from the Shell station, two blocks from Doc's Eastside Wine and Liquor.
Well, maybe you go to one before you get the Blue Plate Special. I don't know.
Slightly north is the Chapel of Angels Funeral Home.
Oh, okay.
Well, little south is Wayne Farms, where Bruce Wayne lives. All right, so I'm going to get to this guy's question.
Yeah,
but Jonathan, really do let us know how Vicks is.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. He says my you got to.
They have a Chick-fil-A too, by the way. So
of course it's in the South.
Yeah, everybody.
This is the law in the South. All right.
I don't see Vicks on here. I see Pearl's Diner. I want to go to
in
Pearl's.
Vicks.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Question.
My mother is approaching retirement and has come across $100,000 that she wants to invest with safety in mind and avoid a spin down period if she needs to go to a nursing home. Oh, my goodness. A financial advisor that calls himself a fiduciary is trying to get her to buy a 10-year deferred annuity, saying that the asset will be spent and not at risk of a spin down, but will supply an income stream for life. He also promises... I don't know. Hold on.
I thought it was in there. Yeah. Okay. I think I've
I'm
seen
getting
this
to
one.
It. Yeah. He promises what appears to be a very high return.
Yeah.
$100,000 with a 10-year build period. So it grows for 10 years.
Yeah, right.
And then $16,000 a year for life.
How old
she
is
has asked
mom?
My opinion, and I had to admit that I don't know much about annuities other than when people call your podcast, and it usually isn't very encouraging. Obviously, I want to give her an unbiased answer. Could you please advise if this is an acceptable strategy or if there's something better? First, I just want to, this is the number. $100,000 over 10 years in an annuity, in an even a variable annuity, the very best you could ever hope for would maybe be a double. And I think that's a ridiculous number.
I think it is too.
Probably 160 over 10 years is more appropriate. And that would work out to a 10% annuitization.
Which nobody, they don't.
Nobody's do doing
no,
that.
No, that's crazy. Okay, but let's go back to the beginning because this word comes up. It came up again yesterday. Remember, I called you right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Safety. Safely, mm-hmm. safety. There is really only, I mean, two things that I know of: bank accounts up to $250,000. Those are safe. You're always going to get your money back. And government T-bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There is nothing else where we can guarantee you're going to get your money back. Guarantee. So after that, there's some degree of volatility you have to live with. So the idea that you're going to have something safe that's going to pay you, well, anywhere near that amount is outrageous. And I'd love to see the declaration page for that annuity. But I'm not buying it.
And that would actually be, Jonathan, a really, really, really good idea. This is one of those cases where you need to have somebody else take a look at this. There needs to be a second opinion done. And that second opinion needs to be done by not someone who calls themselves a fiduciary, but someone who is willing to put in writing that they always act as a fiduciary. And no one who sells commissioned annuities or commissioned mutual funds or any of this kind of stuff, or who tells a story like this, could ever be a fiduciary at the time they are speaking those words. Because there is no way that $100,000, even in 10 years, could, with a high degree of safety, generate $16,000 a year.
Just, not in today's environment. It doesn't make sense. 1982, it might have. But
I don't.
Today.
I think this person with whom she is speaking is taking advantage of a senior person.
And I agree. So I think you're what you're suggesting makes sense. Now, how does he go find that person? Doesn't have to be us. There's other people out there. The question would be, who would be willing to look at that $100,000 investment and say, "Here's the disadvantage."
Fee only. Advisor.
Well, you could go to DFAUS and look there.
Oh, I could. Well, but they won't. Yeah, they might. Yeah, they might.
Yeah.
They might. Let me see if I can find one in Laurel.
And maybe they could stop by Vic's for the blue plate while they're there.
Well, that's exactly what it's not DFA.US anymore.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
I just typed it in. It works fine.
DFA.US?
No, DFAUS.com.
Oh, .com. I was going
to
say.
And then you go to... We can do this all together.
It's dimensional.com too. It's just
well,
works.
Okay. It's that's you know, I can't spell that. And then you go to
my wife word. Is always saying, "How do you spell that? How do you always know how to spell things?" I said, "Cuz I sound them out."
Then you go to I'm an individual, then you go find an advisor, and then you go to advisors who primarily use dimensional funds. What's the zip code there?
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
Okay. If you give me the zip code, I'll see how popular Laurel is as a haven for registered investment advisors and the Blue Plate
Special.
Try
39440.
39434. Better get the three right. 3944.
I better get there faster than you do.
Here we go.
Oh, you gotta do the stupid.
Yeah, I did it.
Robot thing.
What?
You got to do a recaptcha.
I'm not a robot. Come on. Yes, I'm not a robot.
Oh, yeah, you do. Traffic lights.
Here we go. In beautiful Ridgeland, Mississippi, and Gulfport, Mississippi. I have no idea how far away these are. Bush, Louisiana, Ridgeland, Mississippi. There's some people around there.
Really?
Covington, Louisiana. I mean, there's people there.
All right. Let's see who
we got.
There's
a guy with $1 million minimum. Well, excuse me, in Mobile, Alabama.
Well, that Mobile is a ways.
Yeah, I don't know how far away Bush is. Or
that's what I'm going to look at. Bush.
Ridgeland. Bush. Ridgeland seems to come up. Stan Purvis. Stan, hope you're a kind person. Oh, with Buckingham. We trust them. We know them.
Oh, he's with Buckingham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Bush, Mississippi.
No, this one's, well, the one they mentioned first is Ridgeland, Mississippi, 39157. Then the next one is Gulfport, Mississippi, then Bush, Louisiana.
Oh, it's in Louisiana. I was going to say I couldn't find one.
Ridgeland, Mississippi.
Is up there. It's over near Jackson. That's not too bad. Yeah. And you would expect it to be over near Jackson.
Makes sense.
Because Jackson's the big city. So.
People live there.
All righty, everybody. There you go. We got that one done. Now, next question. You ready?
Go for it.
This is out of Olympia, so it's your neck of the woods. Mm. Is there any advantage to adding sector funds? The list of holdings seems remarkably similar to the S&P 500 for all of them.
So if you're referring to sector funds, as in I own financial stocks, or I own oil or energy stocks, or I own the retail sector, then absolutely not. If you're referring to sector funds in terms of asset class, for example, maybe around momentum, maybe around other factors, small in value, then those, yes. So this is a little trickier. I think sector funds generally, Don, people believe are the things, the aforementioned, right?
I think they were talking about the first list.
Yeah. And yeah. I think in that case, no, that's a speculative. That's saying, I believe healthcare will do better over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Right. And you don't know
Nobody
those
knows
things.
That. No, you don't. No. So no,
you just buy the whole thing.
Yep.
VT, easy.
Yep.
VT, easy. That's what I'm going to do. Is there one with the symbol EZ? I should check.
I don't know.
Quick question. Since the date of retirement has changed, do I need to re-register?
Wow. Somebody already has that question?
Yep.
We only changed it like a couple of days ago.
They had it.
And that's
came in on Saturday.
Don couldn't get a flight out of Florida then, and you have to rebook for May. The new date is May 14th, by the way. And I don't believe you have to re-register, no.
Let me give
Don's cell phone out, and you can call that to check.
Okay, we're going to do one more question, then we're going to call it a podcast, okay?
Okay.
Right. Tom, that's you.
Oh, God, yeah.
Tom recently mentioned that his portfolio is 80-20.
Yes.
I'm in my late 50s, and my allocation is also 80-20.
Ooh.
A lot of people my age don't have such an aggressive portfolio. Besides my risk quiz score, should the total amount of money you have in your portfolio have any bearing on how aggressive you should be? I'll give you that first question.
You electronically buzzed right at the key part. Should it have any what?
Should the total amount of money have any bearing on how aggressive you can be?
I'm going to say no, but I mean, again, if you get a certain amount, you're like, well, now I've won the game and I don't want to take any more risk. Then yeah, you could take less risk because I don't need to. I am 80-20 because I don't plan on using the money for a long time. I'm okay with the volatility. And yeah, I'd rather see it grow more and not have so much in the bonds, which are paying so little today. That's my take.
Yeah, but that's he goes on to say, you know, well, for instance, Warren Buffett says that his wife should hold a portfolio of 90% S&P 500 and 10% Treasury. One, Warren, that is terrible advice.
Yeah, it is. But at least it's an index. And I mean, but that's very aggressive.
He sounds like Jack Bogle a little bit,
yeah,
you know.
He does. But remember, I don't think she's going to be trying to figure out how to clip coupons to go to the grocery store on Sunday. She'd probably be okay.
That's his point. It seems that it's easier to be aggressive when you have a whole lot of money.
I think we just talked about that yesterday as part of the target date fund, that if you have more and you have enough, then you could afford to be aggressive because you can see the volatility and still have enough to live on. It's okay.
Well, he says, but I have a $600,000 portfolio. When I retire between Social Security and a pension, I won't have to take much out of my portfolio. So that fact alone makes me feel better about 80-20. My real question is that something that should be factored into a decision, or should I just go strictly by how much risk I feel?
Risk you can take.
I feel I can take, yes.
Yeah, because that's a key part. In other words, if you are 80-20, you need to be ready for a loss of probably 35% of your overall value at some point in the future. If you're not, then you should take less risk. Yes, should it fit into your overall plan? Absolutely. I would advise you to get a plan because you're in your late 50s and say, how much income am I going to need? How much will Social Security and the pension cover? In addition to that, how much for my portfolio? So therefore, how should my money be sort of managed in stocks versus bonds that'll take care of me the rest of my life and my wife, if that's important, or whoever.
Oh, I want to get one more out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just one more. Love the show. I made changes in my portfolio based on your advice. I think y'all, because he's from Alabama. I think y'all, he says y'all,
We're going to send a blue plate special gift.
Search. He's in Alabama. He's not in Mississippi.
But how far away
it's not
is
far.
It?
It's the next state over.
Yeah, okay.
Big deal. Actually, it's not a big drive to Vicks.
I'm going to call Vicks when we're done about this and see what I can arrange here. Some sort of trade.
Yeah. Yeah, mail us that blue plate special there, Vic. He said, I noticed an error when I listened to some of the archived, the old podcast.
Oh, boy.
You know, they're old. We've learned a lot since then.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A doctor asked you about rolling a whole life policy with a loss into a variable annuity, and you told him not to do it as there was no benefit since there was a loss. There was no benefit to the loss. I don't know if you all are unaware or just misspoke, but y'all gave him bad advice.
Yeah.
The caller had spent $135,000 on life insurance with a cash value of $80,000. If he rolls the $80,000 into a low-cost variable annuity, the next $55,000 in gains are tax-free, as he's still underneath his basis. That is correct.
And this is a after-tax. This is not a qualified.
Yeah. Yes, I misspoke. Money. I was basically saying you can't deduct the loss, but it does reduce your basis. But that was...
All right, one more. That was too easy.
That was a long time ago.
Congratulations on the mea culpa.
Oh, we're not going to get this. We'll have to do this one later because I have to do a lot of research on that one. Okay. Sorry. You want to do one more?
One more? We got time for one.
Are you sure?
One more in? I don't know. Why not? The tree guy's still outside. He's okay.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
I live in the golden state of taxes and expenses.
Be California.
Yeah. Thank you. And work for an employer which has a plan, which has in-plan Roth conversions in the 401k.
Ah, okay.
Question is, should I take advantage of this feature and put in as much as I can or just enough in pre-tax form along with the employer match till IRS limits of $20,500 for year 22 and the rest of my own brokerage account?
So you're a young person. You're younger than 50.
Right.
Yeah.
I have two objectives, which I find hard to balance. Increase the Roth portion of the 401k, currently one quarter of pre-tax 401k, to half of the 401k. Two, lower my taxable income. I often slip into the 25% bracket. Appreciate your thoughts.
This sounds a little like I want to lose weight, but I want to have chocolate cake every night. I mean, I don't know, because how do you do both of those things? You can't
do both. You got to do one or the other. Here's the real question. I think the meat of the question lies in this statement, this actual question. Do you believe you will have more money in retirement, have more income in retirement than you have now, or that tax rates in the future will be higher than they are now? And that's the second one. Neither of those we can know. So it's always a guessing game, which is one of the reasons why we say split the baby.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So to end up with half in each, which is your goal, is admirable and probably maybe workable depending on how many more years you have to work. So I would just do some of each. I don't see why you're so stuck on one or the other.
Don't do conversions if it's going to kick you up in a year, it's going to kick you up bracket wise.
Yeah, that's important. Don't too.
Limit your conversions to the top of the current bracket you're in. Otherwise, though, you may want to split your contributions, start splitting it in the future. Maybe do a conversion 1 year up to the max. And then the year after that, since you're not going to do as much converting, that's when you can go up to a higher contribution to the Roth.
And you can still do conversions after you retire, technically. I mean, in other words, you can wait until you have a year of no income.
You have to take an RMDs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's not till 72. But I mean, what if you quit at 60? Then you have all those years you can do the conversions when you have no income.
Lower tax bracket.
Yeah, so that's going to make a lot more sense. So, yeah, some flexibility there makes sense.
Yeah, and again, this is our typical answer to almost every question. The world is shades of gray. More than 50 shades of gray. It's like thousands of shades of gray.
It depends.
Which could, in a book, get really kinky if you're getting into 1,000 shades of gray. If they had 50, I don't know. I never read the book. I figured I wasn't a woman. Women read it, right?
Yes, they did. Yes,
they didn't read it. Oh. I think I should write one about money, which is called 1,000 Shades of Gray. Probably have
1,000 shades
sales.
Of green.
It's gray. Yeah. All right. Did you have anything else you want to add before you go visit the tree guys?
I do. I'll mention one thing.
What?
We've talked to many of you already this year, and I know many more of you want and need help.
The day's like the year is 11 days old, and 12 days old.
I've talked to a lot of people 13. Already. It's been busy, and I've got a couple more calls today. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because somebody just called me. I want my 1 hour. Great. Get your 1 hour. In this case, he wants a little mini financial plan to see how his income is. Terrific. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. free. Mm-hmm. It as you point out, there's no obligation. You don't have to become a client, and you're going to learn something. So it's great. And we'll look at your portfolio to tell you how diversified you are, how much risk you're taking, how much you're paying others, which might surprise you.
Nobody really knows.
Nobody
that.
Knows. In fact, I'd probably have to look at my portfolio to figure out exactly what I'm paying, but it's a lot less probably than you are. But at any rate, take advantage of it. Go right online, set up your own day and time you want to meet with somebody. Boom, we'll get the work done, and there you go.
As a matter of fact, I don't even think they put any restrictions to. I don't think we even put restrictions on the times and days.
No.
Because Tom pretty much will take it if one of the advisors won't. And
that's true. I probably
so would. The best bet is to make it for 3 or 4 a.m.
Today it was 4:34. So I would be ready up, to go.
So yeah. Tom's ready to go, 4:34.
Can't wait
for you
to
folks
sleep
on the East Coast. That's great.
7:30, you're ready to go. So take advantage of it. Go to vestry.com.
Yeah, you should give them the website.
Right? Is that
Vestory,
what it is?
Vestory.com.
Take advantage of it.
And call us with your questions anytime at 855-935-TALK or send them in, as so many do, at talkingrealmoney.com. I'm Don. Tom's over there hanging out, answering your questions, and talking about real money.
You realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures. And to keep the lawyers happy.